All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's Wednesday, the 26th of April, 2023, here in Sydney, Australia. It's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And joining me for a chat tonight, once again, is author and researcher John Hamer. It's great to have John back on the show tonight. He hasn't been on for a while, and we'll catch up with all the latest with John and talk about his great work and research and books and what's on the horizon. There's always plenty to cover as we break down the matrix system around us and we work out what's going on. So always plenty to go through, that's for sure. So great to have John on the podcast, Real Independent Media here in Sydney, Australia. And everything's up on krazfiles.com. Plenty going up, so please enjoy. I'll just quickly mention, John, the Kraz Files members. I took it down, so that has been deleted. It's been going for a couple of years, and it was a big part of the website. But, you know, not a lot of people use it anymore. I think they're just liking the members' podcasts and the Nightwatch podcasts. And it's only a couple of people chatting away in there, and it's using a lot of space on our on the servers, and this is to do with the hosting. It can be very expensive when you've got a big, heavy website. And my hosting, right. Yep. These guys are in the US. They're just wonderful, but they're doing independent, small guys, and they don't have a lot of space on their servers. And I'm chewing it up with the Kraz Files. Indeed, I've been chewing it all up, and so that freed us up a lot. And with all those members' podcasts I'm doing, that's been a big problem for me. And I would have had to host them somewhere else. To make space, because that's what's been going on. And so, yeah, a bit of a shame there, John, but it just not really people using it anymore, plus the stress on me with people's credit card payments and fails and cancellations and people not being able to log in and all sorts of issues. And right. I got a lot on at the moment, as you do, on my plate, so I decided to take that down. So for the members who are listening, I've cancelled all the payments on Stripe, and I've erased that from the website. And we have the new website up and running now, and that did cost quite a bit to get it all right. And with my hosting this year, so we're up and running for another year. But support is very crucial. I do this myself, and I can't continue without support. So what I've decided to do is move the Kraz Files members over to Buy Me a Coffee. That's all. I was already on there. I was going to go to Patreon, but it's a bit confusing, and they use PayPal. I already am on Buy Me a Coffee. It's quite simple, and it's connected to Stripe. So all the members, the older members, if they want to continue with me, just need to click on one of the new animated banners on the Kraz Files website. Just click on one of those, and it takes you to the Buy Me a Coffee page, and you can sign up there for the same amount, and it's exactly the same through Stripe. So we just continue over there, minus the members area, which nobody was using anyway, so it makes sense. And this way I can host all the Nightwatch podcasts and extra guest podcasts on that platform over there, so they can take the weight and they take their little bit of a cut as we move forward. So it's a lot easier. As John will know, he has his website and knows how expensive things can be. And so I think it's a good way forward. It's been a big change, John, on the website, and giving it a facelift and doing everything. But yeah. I want to continue my members because it's important and it helps me to continue here. I can't continue without some support. It really does help me to support. So, and there's the PayPal donate as well on the website, which is just simplified. But we are ready to go. I have we've done all that yesterday, and it's all up and rock and rolling and working. So that's fine. So for people who want to support and be a member and listen to the extra podcast and Nightwatch, get over there onto Buy Me a Coffee platform and sign up there for the same amount via Stripe. It's the same system, and you're in control of your payments a lot more. So I don't have to deal with people's credit cards and all that kind of stuff anymore. It's just too exhausting. You guys can just sign up and do it yourself. It's a good platform that they offer that, and it makes a hell of a lot of a difference for our our servers and hosting and everything. So everything is up and good to go. And it's been a lot of work here, and it does cost. So we are ready to go tonight, John. You have not been on with me for a maybe I'll check when our last podcast was.
I think it was January, was it?
Yeah, it's been a while, but you've had some illness and some moves and some dramas and things going on, plus your work and books coming up. And as we mentioned before, I spoke with Shannon Rowan on the podcast the other day. It was wonderful catching up with her. She's had a bit of a harsh winter, and she's about to release her new book as well, and has been I've just been sharing some info that she needed to put in the footnotes or something, or get some info into finishing her book. But she thinks that that's going to be up very soon, within the next week or so. So that's very exciting. And you guys have got more coming up. But let's rewind a little bit and find out exactly how you're going and what's been going on in your neck of the woods, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's been, as you say, Adam, it's been hectic for me here. I've had a house move. I've had illness. And I've also found myself a new partner, which is great. And, you know, we're very happy. So, but it's been a bit of a bumpy ride, shall we say, since Christmas. But yeah, back on track now. Lots of things going on in my life still, but it seems a lot more orderly now. And so, hence, you know, we can continue with the podcast whenever you wish, mate. And I'm just sorry that there's been such a hiatus, if you like, between the last one and this one. But, you know, that's life, isn't it? And, you know, even though we're busy doing the things that we need to do to keep body and soul together, we've still got to carry on doing, you know, living our lives as well, haven't we? You know, so it's, you know, it's just the way of the world.
Yeah, that's right. And that's nice, that a new partner and company and... that's a nice balance in your life as well. And we were just discussing before we started recording tonight about being run down and getting flu symptoms and becoming so ill and how this happens. And and it is an interesting thing to put out there to people, and we try to discuss a lot that we've been so confused and wound up in the whole virus and germ theory thing. Through the medical establishment and doctors, you know, and all of this. And there's no proof that viruses exist anywhere in the world whatsoever, especially COVID-19. But that happens, isn't it? You've had a big move yourself initially.
Because
when we were first talking, when you moved to your area and then now all this and all your previous book as well, you know, like all the work you've done and everything, and there's a lot of stress and things happen, and then you you get hit, don't you? And you're body doing its magic, and you just got to go to bed. What can you do? It doesn't mean you have a virus or you've caught anything. It just means you've built up a lot of toxins, and it's coming out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what happens? It totally supports terrain theory, in my view. You know, all this business about viruses, it's just utter nonsense. I mean, they just do not exist. It's just a convenient way for the medical profession to keep a hold on us, you know, and sell us lots of pharmaceutical drugs. You know, if they accepted terrain theory, then the pharmaceutical industry would collapse, basically, because drugs do not work. Despite what they tell us, they do not work. They can't possibly work, because that is not how the body works. So you know, actually dosing up your body with petroleum-based products that allegedly cure these viruses or help prevent these viruses or whatever, it just makes no sense at all to me, you know. And as you say, it's what causes illness is a buildup of toxicity in your body. And the body manifests itself as being ill as it's getting rid of the toxins, and those toxins can be anything. They can be gaseous, they can be chemical, they can be electronic, you know. So there are lots and lots of different ways that you can get ill, but your body deals with them and deals with it all in exactly the same way, and it more or less shuts down while it's dealing with it. And that's what illness is. Absolutely nothing to do with tiny little microscopic organisms at all.
And I was just telling you, John, before we started as well, because we've been through a lot of hell here in Australia in the last few years with the COVID psychological operation and lockdowns and madness. We'll talk about that
Yes.
tonight a bit. And people have been stressed and worried, and there's a lot going on. And I noticed, very strongly this year, and I've chatted about it on the Night Watch, that a lot of people went down hard for the Easter long weekend break here. And
Right.
they've been working and busy with their lives, and it's built up to
Yes.
that Easter break. And I was watching it, and I started noticing, and I thought, wow. And then I just saw so many people, they were going down like flies,
Yeah.
and I can't go away, I can't go camping, because everyone's in that mode of, I'm gonna go and relax, and I'm gonna
Yes.
go and throw a fishing rod in the water, and a line in
Yeah.
there, and get the
Yeah.
esky and have a few beers and take the kids or the family camping and just chill out over the weekend or
That's
the
it.
Easter break. And then your body doesn't see it that way. Your body's, we're so in sync. It's amazing how we have these kind of almost, John, like master resets or something, or resets in our body.
Yes.
Our body knows that we're going into that mode. And I talk to people about this all the time. They've been so full on and flat out moving and doing things and working and doing stuff. They haven't had a time to break. And it's like your body's in this survival mode, and you're just like, how am I not sick? I'm charging.
Yeah,
And then
exactly.
you go to go on a break or have a holiday, or say, I'm going to have a couple of days off and put my feet up and just relax.
Yeah.
And boom, your body says,
Yeah,
right,
your
I'm
body then
taking this chance
says,
to get rid of this muck.
exactly. That's exactly what happens. And people say to me, "Oh, that can't be true, John. What about when you go in a room with somebody who's got a cold or flu, and then you catch it?" Well, that's explainable by something called bioresonance, and it's a similar sort of phenomenon to, most people have probably heard of that phenomenon, which medical science cannot explain adequately, and that is that when two women live under the same roof, their menstrual cycles sync. Yeah, they synchronize, and they end up having their periods at exactly the same times, and that's a similar kind of effect. It's called bioresonance, and that's what happens. You enter a room with someone who's suffering with what we call flu, and your body detects that the symptoms that they're manifesting, and as a kind of a protection, it does the same for you as well, and that's why you end up getting sick. So yeah, it's all very explainable by terrain theory, everything.
Yeah, that's right. And also the winter time, we've talked about this for years. It gets cold and
Yes.
dark. We're going into the southern hemisphere winter here. It's very
Yes.
dark and quite early, and it gets cold, and people are working. They're getting up at dark, and they're
Yeah.
going on the bus, or they're going in their cars, and there's a lot of
Yeah.
stress involved with that. They're working in offices under artificial lighting, artificial heating, all of this stuff. People don't eat
Exactly.
that well, maybe. There's a million and one things. There's contaminated
Fluorescent lighting in offices
fluorescent lighters, as
is a
well,
big problem.
with
Yeah,
skin
it is.
cancers and things like that, and on your eyes and everything. And
Yeah.
and then you're going home on the bus with crowded situations
Yeah.
and darkness, and you go home, it's freezing cold, you've got all the windows, all the doors shut, and you
Yeah.
got all the lights, electricity going, TV on, everything. It's nice to have that electricity going in the winter, and you've got the gas heater on, or the gas stove going on, or the heating
Yeah.
going on. You're getting pumped with EMF, you don't have enough ventilation in the house. I talk to people all the time about this. The kids, the family, all get sick, and I'm like, "Do you have heaters in your room? Do you have the
Yeah.
windows open so you've got electric heaters going? And they're on
Yeah.
the devices. You've got the EMF pumping through, and the Wi-Fi, and all this stuff. And then people are waking
Yeah.
up in the winter with the flu, and they're going to the doctor, and the doctor's saying, say with the paddle pop stick, oh yes, Mr. Smith, you've got a virus. Take these
Yeah.
antibiotics, which is making it more complicated and putting more toxicity into your system.
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
John Rappaport put out an amazing article, I think, from the British Medical Journal, actual documented papers stating that in America, millions of people have respiratory samples taken each year from flu patients who are told they have the flu, and those samples are coming back minus any presence of a virus.
Yes.
And so, you know, those people are going to the doctor and they're feeling terrible. And the doctor's saying, you got a virus, Mr. Smith. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding and these samples are going and there's no virus in there. And this is the simple thing we've all want to see with SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. We just want to see a sick patient have, you know, if someone's diagnosed with COVID-19, we want that patient to have a sample taken from them. And then we want the virus simply isolated from that sample. And we want to say, there's the COVID-19 virus, and there's the muck and the sample. But they can't do it, and they never have done it, and they never will, because there isn't anything there, and they know it. So the biggest scam, really, for me, or one of the biggest scams, in modern pharmaceutical, you know, medicine, and with doctors and medical centers and hospitals and everything, and the way that they are, is the virus and virology. Definitely. And we know with virologists, they use a lot of big words. You've got to get your thesaurus or dictionary out. They start bamboozling people, and you've got to be quite intelligent to go up against them. And I know people like Jim West and others who constantly bringing them down. All these kinds of people, but virologists and all these people, they're always trying to bamboozle you and suck you down all these different avenues away from the conversation of where's the virus from.
Yeah.
Show us. We don't need to hear all this. We just want to know where it is. And they can't, today they can't show it. So we really want to get that out to people as well, that there is and never was any COVID-19 virus, and there are no variants, and there's nothing in the atmosphere. There's nothing released or leaked from laboratories, because that cancels itself out. If there's no virus and never were any viruses, how can they mix them up with HIV and Black Plague and all these things and Spanish flu when they never existed either? So I think this will take the scare element out for people anyway, John, so they can start to do some thinking maybe.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify that as well, Adam, and you're absolutely right. I agree with every word you said there. But just to clarify it for people who may not be aware, it's not just a case of there not being any COVID-19 virus. There are no viruses at all. You know, what they refer to as viruses are absolutely not living organisms anyway. They are just the result of your body fighting the toxicity. It's your body that is producing these things. They're not organisms that enter your body and infect it, as we're told. They are actually created within your body, and it's your body's way of fighting the toxicity. So these things that they call viruses are actually doing your body good. They're not harming it. So it's the whole thing is upside down, as most of the world is anyway. We know this. You know, the whole world that we inhabit is basically controlled by lies on a massive scale, and this is just one more of them. And the reason that they do it is to keep us all in a state of sickness. And also, of course, the huge byproduct of that is they make trillions and trillions of dollars a year out of the current medical paradigm. And you know, they're not going to let that go easily. Because if the medical paradigm switched to dealing with terrain theory rather than germ theory, then they wouldn't be able to make any money, because there's no way that you could treat the symptoms of what your body goes through with terrain theory. There's no way they could treat that with artificial substances. So that industry would collapse. That multi-trillion dollar industry would collapse. So it's just madness. Absolute madness that we continue in this vein. It's unspeakable, really.
We've been chatting about that with our guests quite often. If we were to erase or take away the virus germ theory from the big pharma stack of cards or house of cards, the whole thing would crumble, because it's all built around that, and that is fear. That is making you believe that you have something and you can catch something and spread something that isn't there.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is what I've been talking about a lot lately, John, that the media are used in this way, so cunning the way that they do it, but they cast out that line almost like a fishing line. They cast it out through the TV sets, and they tell you that you need to be vaccinated, you need these jabs or whatever, you need to protect yourself, because if you don't, you could get infected, you could infect your loved ones, your children, your grandparents, and your community, and that will be on your shoulders. And I was saying this on one of the last Night Watch podcasts. Yeah, it's a guilt trip. So it's a hook of guilt, and they cast it out through the TVs, and people in their houses and lounge rooms, they bite into that hook of guilt, and they're hooked, you know. And it's the same with the climate change thing. Everything's about guilt, and that's how they hook us in. They make you feel guilty that you're going to destroy something or pass something on to someone else, and it's going to be your fault. And they did this very well with the lockdowns. When they started locking down Sydney, and when I was here in our cities and people were still out and about, they were saying, just go home and do what you're told so we can all get back to our lives quicker. If you keep walking around out there, then they're going to make the lockdowns go longer, you know, so just do what you're told so we can get our lives back. And that was the whole rhetoric. And so it was an absolute guilt trip, the whole thing, to get you to bite into that hook, and it just caught people, you know.
I mean, just for anyone out there who's not aware, the germ theory was first postulated in the mid 19th century by a guy called Louis Pasteur, a French scientist, and it was him that postulated the theory. And obviously the pharmaceutical industry, as I said before, is totally based upon that false theory, the germ theory. And why do I know it's false? Because in later life, Louis Pasteur actually renounced it, and he said that it was totally wrong, and that one of his compatriots, Antoine Béchamp, he was correct when he formulated terrain theory. Louis Pasteur actually admitted this. So this is not me making this up. You know, I would urge anybody out there who's got any doubts about this to actually do a little bit of research on that, and you'll see that Louis Pasteur renounced germ theory. He said he was totally wrong. So there you go. So the whole of the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, is based on a complete lie or a complete false theory at best.
That's right. And this also applies very much so to catching flus, John, as well, spreading the flu. This is transmission, I believe. We've done some podcasts with Tracy Northern on this, and she broke down this as well. That you can't...
Tracy's got a very, very good handle on it. I wrote my book, The Falsification of Science, I did a huge bit on the medical side of things, and Tracy was kind enough to help me out with that, because she's got a very deep knowledge, far greater knowledge than I do. I'm more of a jack of all trades, whereas Tracy, you know, obviously concentrates on the medical side of things. So yeah, she very kindly helped me out, and I was very grateful for that.
That's right. Yeah, it's really good knowledge, I think, and and so she's done some great podcasts with us here where she's gone through all of this. And it's what I was thinking of, John, is Contagion. And we were talking a lot about these Hollywood movies, Contagion movies and stuff, and freak show scary movies where they're scaring people with the zombies and everything, that people are going to catch something. And you can see the snare, can't you? It's like a mind snare. Yeah. It's like a trap in the mind, you know. It's like you can see how the content over decades has been setting people up for this COVID sort of thing, if you will. Because, you know, people are watching so much content and so much TV and movies and everything, and you can see how, because, we've tried to do podcasts on all the Contagion type movies, and it's just unbelievable what Netflix and everything are putting out. I mean, it really is absolutely everywhere you look. And then when they're ready to roll with something like COVID-19, you can see how easy it is for them to put this through. And I always say it's like a hot dart through the minds of people. You know, they just, boom, it goes straight through because people are primed like a bowling pin, ready to knock over. They've already been set up for this. And people don't understand that. They've been set up through the content and they've got the media ready to go and they've got the whole thing ready to go. A virus has spread from China. Boom, 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 boom. It rolls down the line like an avalanche, you know. And people consume this message without stopping and thinking what's really going on here and that they're part of a massive scam.
Yeah, Shannon, my co-author, obviously, on Welcome to the Masquerade, she did some great work on all that. All that, as you say, that preparing us for, you know, setting us up for COVID-19. You know, she analysed a lot of the films and TV shows and all that kind of stuff that was just absolutely doing what you say. And this has been going on for many, many years now. A lot of it has been, you know, to create this ongoing lie of germ theory and how dangerous the these viruses can be, how deadly they can be. It was definitely, it's ongoing. I mean, they're not going to stop this. They're going to carry on with it as long as they can. I don't know, just to go off topic slightly, it's kind of related, but I don't know if you or any of the listeners are aware of what's going on with the WHO at the moment. They've actually just recently been given the green light to actually be in control of certain, shall we say, aspects of our lives, in terms of they are now being there's something called the Pandemic Treaty, and they are now the WHO has been given the power to completely decide how and when pandemics are going to be treated in the future. So it'll take all the power away from government. And this is really another step down the road of totalitarianism. They've been given powers to define pandemics, to determine lockdowns, and this is taking it all away from governments. The power to, you know, surveillance powers, to actually determine the treatments, to issue vaccine mandates, to distribute the vaccines, and basically the redistribution of everything concerned with our health. So this is a very, very dangerous step now. This has actually happened. So in other words, the WHO has almost become a de facto world government, certainly in terms of the medical side of things. And who knows where that's going to lead, because, you know, this has now taken the power away from our own governments to determine the response to any future alleged pandemic.
That's right. We've been covering that here, and
Serious development. Yeah,
I spoke with Senator Malcolm Roberts of One Nation. They have been pushing this back. We have good senators. Yeah. We have good people here still in Australia that are pushing this away. And but our gutless, spineless, coward majority government have buckled, I guess, under this. And, you know, we have a population pretty much asleep as well. Kind of New South Wales elections, they're all going down to vote the Liberal or the Labor guys in. Still, they just don't get it. So they've been crippled they're being crippled at the knees, and chopped off there, and they're having everything taken away from them, and everything's becoming harder as we get squeezed into the Agenda 2030 system, and transhuman. Yep. Ultimately, that's what it's about, transhuman.
Definitely.
And singularity, and they think that the same people in the same government are going to fix things for them, so they rock up every 3 years to keep going down this, around and round in this vicious circle. There are people here trying to stop this, and we have been able to push this off in Australia, and I certainly don't want that, and I know a lot of us don't. So it is extremely, that podcast, John, was, I I called it on dangerous ground because that's where we are with this. Yeah, we have this foreign body, this entity that wants to put its claws into our lives and take over control. And I was also mentioning, John, that we talked about this with you, that in Australia with the lockdowns, we had these crazy, zany chief health officers that suddenly came from nowhere, like Dr. Kerry Chant and many of them. And they came out of absolute nowhere, and they had this kind of authority that they were calling lockdowns and what we couldn't do, you know. And these people, I was like, I was thinking, what are these people here for? But this is exactly what the WHO want to do. What they want to do is they want to put these health officer people into our regions who are directly related to the WHO, as you said. And when they call their fake pandemics through Bill Gates and all these creatures, then these officers have the direct authority over all of our lives. But this is more real now. And so they decide where the vaccines go, who gets them, all of this, as you mentioned. And now that makes me understand that these chief health officers that we saw during the COVID PSYOP, it was just a training model. It was just to prepare us for what's really coming. And in saying that, they didn't have any power whatsoever. It was all a card trick. It was all a casino bluff. You got bluffed. Sure. People got bluffed and scammed into believing in something that just wasn't there. And we took it, because I said this, and it's time to face reality. People took it. I saw them everywhere. They took it. They did it. They did the mask. They did the social distancing. They did the lockdowns. They did what they were told. They believed in the story, and they thought they were doing the right thing. And so for the system, that part of the test was done. And they see that now when we bring in the next part, whenever that is, you will comply. And I think all the data and numbers were crunched. And I think that's what it was all about. And that's what they want to do. They want to take that authority to themselves. So we have no national bodies or governments or anyone who can say anything when they call a pandemic. It's up to them.
Yes.
And they call the shots. And you do what you're told. So this means that they will enforce vaccines. And we saw it in Melbourne. They brought in their own police. They brought in their own mercenaries. And I think that that's what they're doing. I think that's what they're doing. I think they'll just bring their own mercenary type cops in to enforce this onto us.
Yeah.
And people can't see that the last few years was just a training ground. It was a drill for what's coming if we don't stop it. And you look at the French, look at what they're going through. They're fighting what's coming. And that's what we all need to do. But unfortunately, John, the lockdowns worked. It spooked people, and now they're just happy to have their freedoms and their sports and their TV back and their jobs back, that they're just willing to go along, but they can't see what is going on here, the bigger picture, and why it was all done. The French can, I think, because they've been through so many revolutions and they can see what's coming down the line here, you know? And it's really shady territory now, mate, to say the least.
I know, very much so. And this is obviously all going on quietly in the background. It's not been reported in the mainstream media at all, because they don't want us to know. This is just going to be sprung upon us when they believe the time is right, and when they believe the time's right for the next, shall we say, assault on our freedoms, which I'm guessing won't be too far away. I don't know, again, if Australian listeners are aware, but in the UK, we've just had, in the last couple of days, we've had a government warning, if you like, a testing warning on everyone's cell phones.
Yes.
Okay, so we all got a message on our cell phones saying that, in the event of a national emergency, this will be your instructions as to what you have to do. And it appeared on everybody's phones at, I think it was 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, something like that. Again, they don't do that for nothing. There's obviously something coming down the line sometime very soon, I suspect, which we're going to have to obey the instructions from our lords and masters that are sending down the phones now. So yeah, it all adds to the fear mongering, of course, as well. And because people are thinking, oh my goodness, oh God, what kind of an emergency could this be? But yeah, they've certainly not given up. I mean, I think COVID was the big one, but I'm sure that there are other plans in the pipelines to further subjugate us, and create this totalitarian world that they are seeking. I always say this on your podcast, Adam, and that is that I don't actually believe they're going to succeed. But they're not. It's not going to be for the want of trying. That's for sure.
That's right, John. And I was talking about this on the Night Watch podcast a while ago about that, what's happening in the UK. And I was just talking about a paper which is Operation Crimson Mist, Electronic Slaughter in Rwanda. And I was emergency alert alarm to sound on April 23rd in the test. And Janice Barcelo sent me this and we were discussing it. And her thoughts are they are planning to activate all cell phones on April 23rd with some type of siren or signal, and that this is a test to see how many phones they can switch on at a time, at the same time with specific frequencies. So the activation of certain frequencies will cause many of the people to turn into sort of zombified or frequency controlled humans, and they have also done that with the Operation Crimson Mist. So either they're planning on either just killing a whole lot of people at one time that are dumb enough to carry cell phones, or they're planning to control them through frequencies coming through their phones. And on that podcast, I was just
That makes
talking about
sense.
how we went to the protests in Canberra, and that I got very, very ill, that my throat internally was burned in the big protest at Canberra, and a lot of people had facial burns, like and things that it, and it seems very, very strongly to me that we were hit with some kind of microwave weapons by the Australian Federal Police in Canberra. And it's just interesting to me because I was stupid enough to carry my cell phone that day to take video and photos, and others that I was with, including my wife, didn't have them. And they were okay. And when we went home, my throat was burned internally, like I drank boiling water. And it was the worst thing of my life. I've never been. And I know what a sore throat is, even a bad one. And this was not that. And then I found that other people had the same thing. And then there was all these injuries and things going on. And at that protest in Canberra, something happened with phones, and something happened with the Telstra Tower, which is our main phone provider here in Australia. Something it went down and people couldn't communicate with each other. So there was something going on with the phones in Canberra, and we got hit with something, and I think it was those who were holding their phones. I'm not positive about it, but I'm just saying,
That's interesting,
if we look at the COVID jabs and we look at the implementation of 5G in these towers, and we look at what's happening now in the UK, are they setting up some kind of system to tag you or target you through your phone? And the jabs that you had. Now, I'm not jabbed, so I
No.
got out of that. I healed. I'm okay. But I'm just saying, it's very weird. Are they testing something there through people's
Yes.
phones and through the cell towers and through their vaccines?
Yeah, well,
It
they're
could be.
capable of anything. I mean, they're just, they're, you know, they're, you know, they're, you know, they have no conscience, these people at all. They've got no conscience, no
Devils.
morals, no empathy, nothing. I mean, they're just, they're, you know, they're dead from the. From the neck up, as far as empathy and feelings for other people are concerned, so they'll just do anything, you know, to maintain their position of power, and that's of course what everything is all about, them maintaining their position of power.
That's right. And as we work towards the end of the podcast tonight, John, another thing which we could probably cover on the next one, I just found it really interesting, and I was covering it on one of my Night Watch podcasts. I was just looking at Rudolf Steiner, and he was talking about blood demons and that our race is under spiritual attack. And he's a very fascinating man, and he did mention he did mention in his talks about vaccines, and I found that really interesting, tying it up with today. And I put the article up on the Crasfiles website tonight if folks want to just read that. It is really interesting, and there's a part there called In the Blood. And some people say that Rudolf Steiner predicted a vaccine would appear, which would be the delivery system for the final defeat of humankind. And if we look at what just happened in the last few years and their attempt to inject almost every person on planet Earth with gene editing treatment, you have to look at that. But people would say, how true is it? And it says that Steiner was remarkably clear with his standards and what he said and his processes and his talks and everything. And he did a final lecture.
This is 100 years ago, of course, as well.
Yeah,
and so, he's more than 100 years ago. Yeah.
That's right. And I'm going to get his final lecture, which is The Fall of the Spirits of Darkness. And he states that the spiritual world, where entities such as angels and demons dwell within the human blood. And he meant that. And he said that the dwelling place of these demons or entities is in the blood. So the blood's not merely for chemists to analyze. It's a dwelling place of these entities.
Right.
And he speculated that the delivery mechanism would be in the form of a vaccine injected directly into our bodies. And I find that really interesting. Another thing they talk about here is the vaccine, he goes on to say, would block off any communication from the spiritual world, meaning no messages or impulses would be able to get through from the spirits of light who aim to always help humanity progress and fulfill our destiny, our higher dimensional selves, if you will. And that the vaccine would permanently lock out positive impulses which were once transmitted to us, and instead the hapless victims would only be able to receive the impulses coming from them and their disruptive sources. And we can see that through the media and education systems and everything, but also what we were just talking about through the 5G and the pulsing and the targeting, you know, maybe. You know what I mean? That makes sense, doesn't it, John?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Absolutely, yeah.
It is really interesting one to look at.
It is.
I've been looking at a lot of these authors and just sort of doing my own sort of research and study, because I just find what they said in the past was interesting. I've been looking at dystopian futures and Philip K. Dick and his novels and what he was saying, whether these people were involved with the occult or not. I just find it really interesting what they were saying and in their books. And you being an author, John, as well, you know, I know you'd be interested in these people just sort of watching them. But how could these guys say, as Orwell did in 1984, how could they predict so precisely what we would be seeing now and saying stuff like that about vaccines and things like that? Is really, really incredible. But everything that we've discussed tonight, you know, looking at medical stuff, is in your books. It really is in your last two, in your, or The Falsification of Science in particular. That was a really incredible book. And I think
you
really came at the right time, John. I suggest people get those, and we really want to promote them here. But The Falsification of Science is all about this, isn't it, mate? Is this something you're going to be looking at in your future work?
Well, it's all linked in, as you said earlier in the piece, Adam, it's all linked into transhumanism, and that's where we're going ultimately. Mm. And that is the subject of the next book that Shannon and I are jointly authoring. So, yeah, I mean, it's been long delayed, this book, partly because Shannon has had her own projects on the go, and partly because, you know, I've been, you know, more than busy the last few months too. We did intend starting it just after Christmas. But it, you know, it's probably going to be the autumn now by the time we get around to getting on with that. So it should be available sometime in 2024. But that will actually be the final piece in the jigsaw puzzle, as far as, you know, the powers that shouldn't be are concerned. You know, this is where this is where it's all going in its transhumanism. Because once they achieve transhumanism, then, you know, the human race is finished.
What is transhumanism, John? Like, explain that in a couple of bullet points. Yeah. What is transhumanism for our listeners?
Yeah, transhumanism is the, it's like human 2.0, if you like. It's like the next version of humanity, which is going to be completely, you know, merged with artificial intelligence and technology, so that we'll just be part of the smart grid. Okay, that's their ultimate goal. So, all these smart TVs, smart fridges, smart everything else, we'll just be a smart human, but we will be totally controlled. There are already patents out there, Adam, and I'm sure you know this, but maybe some of the listeners don't. There are already patents out there for the remote control of both the human mind and the human body. And this has all been facilitated by, or partly been facilitated by, the vaccine program during COVID, which obviously was the reason for spreading all the bollocks about, total bollocks about COVID, was to get the vaccination program underway. And it's that vaccination. I'm sure most people have heard that things like graphene oxide in the vaccine. This is going to facilitate these patents that are absolutely out there on the internet. Again, I'm not making this up. Do your own research, you can find this. And they do have the ability to remote control the human mind and the human body. And this is where we're heading. They've got the ability to delete memories, add false memories, amend memories, implant thoughts, download thoughts into your brain. I know it sounds absolutely fantastic, but this is, and I don't mean fantastic in the sense of being good, I mean fantastic in the sense of it being utter fantasy. But it's real, and it doesn't take much in the way of research to actually prove that. So that's where they are wanting to take us, because once they achieve that goal, not that they ever will, but once they achieve that goal, the human race is finished, because we'll have no means of fighting back at all. We will just be their total puppets, slaves, whatever you want to call it. And that's the way they want us, because it's all about, as far as they're concerned, it's all about control, because they're terrified of us. I mean, there are 8 billion of us. There's only a few thousand of them. And this is why they drone on and on and on about population reduction. It's nothing to do with saving the planet. They don't really give a shit about the planet. I mean, come on. Do they care about anything? All these industrialists destroying the world but obviously they blame it on overpopulation, which gives them an excuse to reduce it. They want to reduce the population because, the more of us that they are, the more under threat they are. And that's as simple as it gets. So yeah, in a very small nutshell, smallish nutshell, that's the topic for the next book, Transhumanism.
That's right. Absolutely, John. And I would say to the listeners out there, you can go to crazfiles.com and type in John Hamer, Hamer, and you'll see all our podcasts we've done. We've been doing them for years and talking about these things. So they're all on there and on BitChute as well. And if you look at John's last book that we promoted and talked about as well, that John and Shannon did, it was Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude to the Great Reset. And you can see how this is setting up for the next work that is going on here, into transhumanism, singularity. This is where they're going. It's amazing. Your people still can't see it. The whole COVID narrative is now being packed away. They're taking out the jabs, even the media are coming out. It's all being taken down now as they move on with their agenda, and people just can't see that.
Absolutely.
They're like rats in an experiment. They can't see what's really
Yeah.
going on here, you know? You're just a mouse in a laboratory being experimented on.
Yeah.
It's part of the Great Reset. And your last book,
Absolutely.
Welcome to the Masquerade, brilliantly covered all this, but now it's moving into the end, really. I mean, it's the transhuman agenda, and this was in the Matrix movie. Once that AI comes in and that transhuman thing takes place, I mean, really, it's the end of man.
That
And
is
this is
their
our
end
greatest
game.
fight.
Yeah,
This is
that
it.
is their end game.
Yeah, once we move into this abyss, digital abyss of transhumanism, we talked about that. How are we going to get back? You know, it's going to be, yeah, it's unbelievable, and hopefully we can get this message out to many, many people and get the discussion going, buddy.
Definitely. And again, I always end finish up by saying this, I know, but again, I think it's worth saying. I don't want people out there to worry about it because, it's not going to happen. It isn't. They're not going to do it. They're not going to achieve it. People are waking up in their droves now. I see it every day. Just going about my normal daily business. People are questioning things more. Obviously, lots of people are still asleep. But there are a lot more people waking up, and this is what they're scared of, and this is why they're pulling the agenda forward. So, but I think we will reach a tipping point very, very soon where the whole world, or the vast majority of the world, says, "Hang on, you're not doing this anymore. You can fuck right off, basically. We're not going to take this anymore." I really do feel that we will reach that point. So I don't want anybody out there having nightmares or worrying about this stuff. And not to say it's not serious. I mean, we should take it seriously, but I think in the end, good will prevail over evil, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's right, John. That's how we have to pray and hope in that, and we have to hold that dear in our hearts, don't we?
Definitely.
Always, we have to
Definitely.
always see that as the final outcome, no matter what happens. We have to focus our attention and energy on that better outcome, and that
Definitely.
we're gonna all come through this. And there's no other way. We have to hold that. And if enough of us
Exactly.
do it, we will see it. It's all up to us, because as we've talked about many times, we're doing this to ourselves, I think. At the end of the day, as crazy as it sounds, I think we're doing this to ourselves. I think we're being set up to destroy ourselves. We're building our own enslavement. And people can't see it yet, but we don't need everybody. We just need to get the bricks in the wall, and we need to build this. And people will see it, you know? And so we continue forward and continue to break all this down and have our discussions, John. It'll be great to continue on the next one. I've got some more themes to cover and things to go over, and I'll put
Absolutely.
all your links up to get your books and information. As I said, I've been talking to John for years now, and it's all up on the website and BitChute. I've put it, so many up there. It's all in the Crass Files website, all the podcasts back to the Titanic. And we've discussed all John's work and books, and there's more coming. And we have to get this out and this work out to as many people as we can, and not shut up and just be a thorn in the side of the system, a pain in the ass. As we said, we've been saying, John, they're killing off the oldies, and they're concentrating on the young, and the unborn, to implement them into this system. But us in the middle, we're not old and we're not young. We're the pain in the ass for the system. We're the ones they really have a problem with, because we can see them for what they are, and we want to bring this out into the light and tell everybody and scream it from the roofs. So, all of us, we need to band together here and expose this and get this done, and do our best while we're here. It's important. That's why we're here. It's really important to do, and that's why I love having these discussions. Before we plug out tonight, John, and I, as I said, I'll put your website link in, and your links to your books and everything. Anything you want to finish on, for the listeners out there?
Yeah, I think I just reiterate, keep your chins up, be very wary of what's going on, be aware, keep up to date with all the little clues that they keep giving us as to what they're doing. But most of all, tell as many people as you can who are not aware of this. It's a hard job to do. I mean, I've been trying to do it for the last 25 years or more. And it's a thankless task, but we've got to do it. We've got to keep informing people as to what's going on in the world, even if they, think we're crazy. And I've been called crazy more times than I can count. I wish I had a pound for every time I've been called a nutcase. But we just got to keep doing it. Just keep plugging away, and we will beat them. We will.
That's right, John. And I always say, try to tell folks that don't be threatened or scared by the system. Learn from it, because they're telling you what they're going to do. They want us to know. And that's why I say, I think we're doing this to ourselves. There's a way out here. And this is with the Freemasons. They always have to tell us what they're going to do. And they do this through entertainment and news and propaganda. And we consume that subliminally, subconsciously. It goes in deep.
Yeah.
And then it's in there like a seed and it grows. And then when it happens, that final outcome, it's not so bad because we already knew it was going to come anyway. And this is how they control us, you know. And so they're always telling us what they're going to do. And so, that's our way out of this. That's the key, isn't it, John, in the door. That's our lock. That's our way through, I think. And I think this is what we just need to keep discovering and getting out to the listeners and chatting about. And great to have you on tonight. We'll look at plugging in again in May, near the end of May, and I'll organize that with you and we'll see how we go and get that out. And you're still on BitChute, or that's been a bit slow?
Yeah, although I've not updated the channel for quite a while, but again, that's been the same problem. I've not had any spare time at all, but that, again, there are plans in foot to continue with that series of interviews on my BitChute channel. So, That'll continue.
It's a really good channel and worth doing. But obviously, working on the book, that's full on. So great. And as I said, I'll put up all John's information and make sure folks can get on John's great website, falsificationofhistory.co.uk. That's a great website. I'll put up John's email if you just have any questions. And as we always say, you can actually email John and he'll send you out copies of his book signed. And mention me here down in the trenches. Kras Files podcast, we're doing this, and John will and it might cost you a little bit more if you're in Australia or wherever or in the US, but you get a signed copy and a physical one sent from John. I think that's a wonderful thing. He's one of the few authors that actually offer that. He has the books and that's a great thing.
Yeah.
And so I always put up a big a lot of links and for everybody to go on there and check out the books and everything and go back and have a look, and also the BitChute channel. So I'll do all that, and I will get this through to you, John, when it's ready for you to share to your friends and family and everyone. And and I'll put it up also on our BitChute channel, and it goes out on the RSS feed. And I'll also say to folks as well, you can go over to Spotify. I'm putting them over there because that's quite popular as well, and it so it goes out to iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean, and all those big platforms as well. And please support me over on krasfiles.com and become a member. I'll be doing more podcasts for the members over on Buy Me a Coffee, and we've got one coming up tomorrow night as well. So link over there, and helps me to continue. And great chatting with you tonight, John.
Always, you too, Adam.
Always fantastic to have you on, and we'll plug in again very soon.
Great. Thanks a lot.